When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later.
Welcome to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a podcast about football, mostly about opinions, sometimes about facts, depending on who you ask. Since you're here listening to us, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, Google Podcasts, wherever. We are there. And follow us on social media as well. We're on Instagram and Twitter at WTATL Official. And we're also on TikTok at WTATL.podcast. Now, I'm about to tell you what episode we're on.
117.
Yes, that is correct. I can confirm.
Thanks, Daniel. All right, 117. What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're here for the 117th time.
Yeah, I'm good.
You have not been here 117 times.
No, I don't want to hear that. I've been here for 110 out of 117. I'll say that with chest.
I'll go back and I'll count the amount of episodes cool. You were on.
Come back next week.
Why is everything a competition?
I need you to waste your time. Go through each individual episode.
If it's lower than 110, you're not back. You're not allowed back on 118.
Oh my God.
How are you today, Mark?
I'm not going to answer that.
Mark, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you, bro. I'm all good, man.
You are an idiot.
Tanya, how are you?
Well, I would have been better. I would have been on holiday. Well, actually, I would have been back from the holiday I was supposed to go on. F EasyJet, just saying.
No, F Storm Houston.
Okay.
Houston.
Still, bun EasyJet for their miscommunication. I was at the airport for 10 hours.
Yeah. Raw, 10 hours.
From 10 a.m. till 8 o'clock, I didn't leave that place.
You see, if they said to you, right, cool, wind is mad, but we're going to jet off.
Yeah.
Would you have said, like, all right, a bit nervous, but let's go? Yeah.
To be fair, I'm not going to lie. When I was looking outside, there was this massive pole, and even that was wobbling. I was thinking, you know what?
Because did you see the...
The wheelie bin.
The wheelie bin, yeah. I think everyone's seen that. That's typical England, isn't it? It has to be a wheelie bin that's flying about. But the City on their way back from Sporting, the pilot couldn't land a plane at Manchester Airport because the winds were so bad. Yeah. I don't know if any of you have seen the video.
I've genuinely seen it.
Looks pretty scary. So he had to divert from Manchester to Liverpool Airport and then land there, etc. Mm. But I'm telling you right now, there's no chance I'm flying in this wind.
No. Do you know what? It was more crazy. The inconvenience of it, I think. Like, had I not got up from my seat and spoke to someone, we wouldn't have known that our flight got changed the next day.
Oh, what? They just let you sit in there?
Yeah, they didn't update the screens. Like, they literally left us sitting there. That's what I'm saying. If I hadn't have left my seat, oh, they're so bad.
I saw what happened to the O2.
Yeah, that was mad.
Then bed sheets got...
Certain towns in England, yeah, when Storm Eunice hit, it did like thousands of pounds worth of improvements.
Oh my days.
No, right, those are the views of Abdi. And, like
if Burnley were playing the Brighton, if they were playing at Turf Moor, bruv, that stadium would be upside down. It'd look better.
You're terrible.
All right, okay. Before Abdi gets us cancelled, let's move on to football. And
I got a quick question. Talking about Burnley, so I looked at Burnley's first team squad and they've got about out of 5 non-English or Irish players, and I want you guys to name them.
Burnley,
yeah.
Corne Weghorst.
So non-British and Irish, I include Scottish, Welsh,
cool. Thanks for that clarification.
No, because I said English and Irish, so don't get smart with me.
Wait, their goalkeeper's still Nick Pope, right?
Yeah. The maddest thing is they're so Brexit. I can't think that there's enough. No one is popping into my mind.
11 English first teamers.
No, wait.
Goodmanson.
Good
shout.
Two more.
Yeah.
Just give us the positions just to speed it up a little bit.
You got a striker and a left back.
Oh no, Tarkovsky. No,
Tarkovsky's English. Yeah. He's got a foreign name. He's got a foreign name, but he's English.
I was thinking Polish.
A left back. But their first choice left back is Charlie Taylor, right?
Oh so no! Don't point at me and shout. And he should have given a penalty.
He's Perth Stoke.
Peters.
No. Peters.
Oh, Eric Peters. Yeah,
and then one more striker.
Striker.
Oh.
Oh, Vidra.
Vidra, yeah. Five for him.
I like that. Well, can I ask, how has that question ended? Like, what's the full process?
I don't know.
There?
Maybe I was just thinking about Brexit one day.
Oh, we were just going to
Let me look at Burnley's first team squad, innit?
You love Burnley, innit?
I'm not a fan of Burnley, no. I hope they get relegated. They beat one of my second teams this weekend, so yeah.
You know what? Before we start then, since Abdi did a little question, I want to ask you one of the questions that we got on IG.
Oh, we got a question.
Yeah, so basically someone's asking, how many Premier League titles will it take for Man City to be considered a team with history? And then they said the same applies for Chelsea. They've been champions of Europe twice. So how can other fans say like they don't have history?
That's a good question.
I can't believe people actually say that.
No,
I
would still
Chelsea.
Say.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea only started in 2004. That's the main argument that people have.
Oh, do they have a history? Not that if they're a big club.
I think Chelsea have a history
not
now.
Not big club, history.
I think Chelsea have a history now.
Yeah, I think Chelsea
It's
do.
Been like 15 years of consistent winning. Yeah. So yeah. Chelsea don't go more than one or 2 years without winning.
In the last 8 years, they've won every trophy that's available. Yeah. Every single
that's
one.
That's crazy.
So what about Man City then?
They need to do a lot more, probably.
I prefer not to speak.
Okay, Jose.
No, you know. I think it's probably similar to Chelsea, where in the first 5 or 10 years, no one was willing to accept the fact that, you know, this is a recent history. It's just as much history as 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think in 15, 20 years' time, you can't not say that City don't have a certain level of history. Yeah. But
so if they win the league this year, that's 6 Premier League titles.
Yeah, that's
but they're... And what, 3 or 4 FA Cups, 17
I think they need to.
They need to get 17.
No, I'm just exaggerating.
I think they need to for Man City for people to start solidifying them.
They need a Champions League.
Yeah, I know. Even though Arsenal don't have a Champions League, but still we've had consistent winning for years. Yeah. So,
what?
I don't know why you're including yourself in this conversation.
That's what I'm saying. I feel a bit.
That was unnecessary.
No, it's just that she was like, "We don't." I was like, "What do you mean we?" We're not in this conversation.
Anyway,
Tottenham are a big team because they've, you know.
No, but Tottenham have a history. Not, like, they, yeah, I guess so. Historically, I guess so. They've been a big team as well.
I guess so. They have won league last
whereas
60
years Man City, they were. They're more known in like second division, about coming up and going down and being there, being just a pest to Man United. That's what they're known for. Now, obviously, is a bit different.
It's true. How much do they really need to do? Because if you're saying 6 Premier Leagues, they've won how many FA Cups, did you say?
I don't know, 3 or 4.
And they've won, not 17 League Cups.
No,
but
they've won.
They did win 4 on the trot, though.
Yeah.
4 on the
Wasn't
trot.
It 5?
How much do they really
Maybe
need
five.
To do?
So, last year, 21, 20, 19, 18, and 17.
Cool, so you can count.
So, what are
they? No, I'm just...
No, I'm just... It's good to know, man. I'm joking. That's my final shot.
This guy's joking.
That's it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if they win the Champions League this year and then say they win the Premier League again next season and more
Wait,
cups.
Wait, are you saying the Premier League and Champions League this season?
What's the question here? Is it's it Man City to have history happen. Or are they considered a big club?
No, it's not a big club. I think they are a big club. But, okay, so let me change the question. What, for example, now, it's difficult because Newcastle are historically...
Oh, stop this stuff. Man. Newcastle and Everton, they're not big clubs. They're not historical. They have history. What? Well, they have history of losing.
I'm not saying they're historically a big club. I'm saying history is like Newcastle, big stadium, the fans are passionate. But what I'm asking is...
Is that it?
Yeah, that is it.
They've got big stadium, fans are passionate. That's like rugby league, isn't it?
Do you watch rugby league?
I couldn't name you one rugby
but
league.
But my question is, what does it take for a team to have history?
I think it's fair to say they've got recent history.
Newcastle?
City.
Oh, City. Okay.
They've got recent history. Have, and in 10, 20, 30 years' time, that will be, in my opinion, you can't... Listen, I don't like Man City, but you won't be able to deny that that's a certain level of history. it's true, though. You'll look back in and... Let's not get into the conversation of how they've managed to win this much, but the fact of the matter is they've done it, and that's what's going to be up on their little trophy wall or whatever you call it, and it's proof's in the pudding. They've won it all, apart from the Champions League. Like Abdi said, or Tanya, once they add that to the collection, there's as much as it hates,
undeniable.
As much as it pains me to say it.
Okay, so okay, bear with me. Leicester have won the Premier League and FA Cup. What more would Leicester need to do to be considered like the history question?
I mean, Leicester will always be remembered because of that Premier League win.
Of course, yeah.
And they won't be remembered because they won the Premier League back to back, and then, you know, they went on a crazy run in the Champions League and then won the FA Cup or whatnot. But Leicester will be remembered, in my opinion, solely for that Premier League win.
So then, is it kind of like Blackburn? Like in 10 years' time, you think level one with Blackburn? Mm. Kind of like they won it once, but whatever, innit?
Yeah, people will respect them, but there's nothing to say that Leicester have had a crazy history, but they've done something that was completely abnormal and shocked the whole footballing world, and that's what's going to put them on a certain pedestal in years to come. Okay. Even now.
Okay, so to answer the question is, we've basically said that Chelsea and Man City have now created their history.
I don't get them. People say they have no history because they're making their history now, innit? So I think regardless of how they've done it, but it's they've done it now, innit? If they went and pumped money and didn't win consistently for the last 15 years, then you can say something, but they have been. So I guess, it's an argument, but still, like, I think they are big clubs and they have big history.
Yeah, okay, cool. Let's move on to...
thanks for the question, whoever that was.
Yeah. let's move on to Man City versus Spurs at the Etihad. And I guess for the first time in ages, you're going to enjoy talking about Spurs.
Oh, no, I can't believe it. It's been so long.
We'll go over to Tanya.
Can I just put a... pause? Sorry.
You always cut them, you give it like a little third of what the length
is.
I
guess, okay, listen.
No,
not even a third. Just talk. The thing is like 10 seconds long.
Just talk.
Okay. Go on then.
I'm literally so, I still can't get over the result, because going into this game, I think everyone and their mum thought that we were going to lose. I predicted 3-0 because we're going into this game three losses.
Just to confirm, 3-0 to Man City.
3-2.
No, you said I predicted 3-0.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't 3-2 to Man City, it was 3-2 to Tottenham.
It was 3-2 to Spurs, what am I talking about? Yeah, I honestly thought we were going to lose 3-0, just because City are in unbelievable form. They hadn't lost since October, and we're going into it with 3 losses on the bounce. So I really wasn't expecting much, but boy, they exceeded my expectations. I thought Harry Kane, honestly, that's probably one of his best performances in a Spurs shirt. And there's been plenty, but
I
think ever. Like, one of. It was up there for me. He was just everywhere, all over that pitch. The passing, obviously he scored 2 goals. Everything was coming through.
The pass for the first Spurs goal was unbelievable. First time off the left foot.
Unbelievable.
He's got
perfectly timed.
To wait it how he did. And then I thought Son took, honestly, I thought Son could have and should have finished that. But
he usually does as well, isn't it? Especially against Man City.
But I was also pleased for Kulusevski because it was an early goal, 4 minutes in. And to be honest, I celebrate, but I didn't really, because I just thought it's so early in the game. City are going to score. But I'm glad that Kulusevski scored a big goal.
Every now and then, Guardiola, he has to act stupid against Tottenham, doesn't he?
I don't know what it is with us. Like, we're every actually season. Their bogey.
You genuinely are.
It's crazy. Like,
every season,
Man City, Tottenham's the only team that really Guardiola just falls apart against, regardless of who the manager is.
They've lost 3 games in the league this season and two.
I know. Spurs. It's like, what? It doesn't add up in my brain. But
I just want to put on record that Harry Kane performance, in my eyes, was the best individual performance we've seen this season.
Wow, yeah.
By far. He Carragher impressed me so much, honestly, and from what I've seen from Kane this season, he hasn't been good enough at all.
No, absolutely not.
But what I saw from him on Saturday evening was out of this world. Honestly, he's by far the best individual performance of this season. I think he deserves his props for that
one. So Liverpool's man of the match then?
Yeah,
Liverpool,
it is.
Exactly.
Liverpool fans are watching that one closely. But
why do you think it will just click for him that day? Why do you think? Is it because Man City wanted him?
I think definitely there was an extra bit of oomph in him.
I don't know. He's improved over the last few weeks. And then, I mean, it was just perfect for him, I guess.
Conte came out. Conte was in a press conference today, I think it was, previewing, I don't know who you've got next, Burnley. Burnley away tomorrow, actually. Or today, if you're listening to this, on Wednesday. And he basically said, listen, if Harry Kane had one leg, I'd still play him.
Yeah, that is Harry Kane for you. That is Harry Kane. And he's so lucky to have
him. And he's
still
asked Harry Kane to sign a new contract and be the star of this new team.
I mean, look, I don't know what he's thinking, but I know he's very happy under Conte.
Conte is the only reason I could see him staying. Yeah. Literally just Conte. I mean, if like, because Harry Kane is, I don't even mean to take the piss out of Tottenham, because Harry Kane is like, literally, he's so good. Like, he's such an all-round striker.
He's above Tottenham.
That he needs to be, no, it's not even just above Tottenham. He needs to be winning trophies, you know? Like, it'd be a shame at the end of his career. He even said it. If I'm not competing for big trophies, 3 years ago, he said, within 3 years, then I'd be disappointed. By now, he should have won something, you know? And like, Conte might change things. You never know, because Conte is a good coach and he's a proven winner. So,
but if you're Kane, I just think, would you be willing to risk it? How many times has he been said, oh, this summer we'll, you know, build the team around you? It's like, how long can you keep doing that? I think he's going to get to a point where he's just like, you know what, I've got to move on. Because clock's ticking.
Yeah, I
was going to say, how old do you have to be for a rebuild? Like, you know,
it's going to take time.
Because by the time the team, if you're rebuilding 2-3 years, maybe he's going to be 30, 31, 32. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
He's 29 now, isn't he? Yeah. Pushing 30. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. But also the window might have gone now, because like top Man City.
I think Man City would still get him though.
They've got this new guy called Julian Alvarez, and they're scoring. Look at them, they're top of the league, scoring loads of goals without a striker.
I'd be.
Do you know what?
The thing is, Man United to step up?
No, but Man United. Especially
what will happen. Who knows what will happen in summer? Their manager won't be there. Pogba's gone. Ronaldo will probably go. So a spot might open up for him. But is he going to be there with the players that are going to help him win?
Listen, they've got to go and get Champions League football before they even think about signing Harry Kane.
Yeah, I mean, I think
otherwise, what's the point? Spurs too. But if you're Harry Kane and United are after you, and you're 30 odd.
Yeah,
and you're thinking, hold on, you're not even playing Champions League football.
Exactly, yeah. And why am I going to leave Tottenham who aren't playing Champions League football to a team that aren't going to play Champions League football?
He's not unhappy at Spurs. He loves Spurs. I just think he has to think of his career. But on the game, Hugo Lloris for the Man City goal, Gundogan goal, honestly, this guy, he cost us 2 goals against Wolves and he'd done it again in this game. Don't
it seems like
wrong.
The goals Tottenham have conceded are all individual
literally
errors.
Literally, like, yeah. I was just like, what are
such
you
a
doing,
poor goal
mate?
To concede.
They made a great so save bad. From someone. Who was it?
No, Gundogan. And I was going to say, he completely made up for it. But Jesus what you don't Christ. Want in a game of that magnitude
is a... giving it
away to City is to just
so
give away a goal
that.
Like that.
I was just like, that could have been easily avoided. That.
But it, to be fair to Spurs, and
I didn't see that winner coming.
I don't think anyone did. I was going to say, to be fair to Spurs, the reaction to going to City leveling up was good. Mm. It's not the Spurs I've seen this season. That would have been the end of it, and you would have lost that game 3-1.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Such uncharacteristic errors from Man City. So the first goal, Diaz, I know it was a great pass from Kane, but Diaz stepping up. You're quick, but you're not as quick as Son. Second goal, Laporte and Cancelo, I don't know what they were doing. Who was it who played? Son played the ball in.
I'm so glad. I don't know why it's only Trent who people kind of eagle eye into.
Yeah.
Cancelo was terrible.
He wasn't.
Mainly defensively.
Mm-hmm. Cancelo, obviously not watching Kane. Laporte just acting like there's no one behind him. Like, bruv, you think what?
So
it's
space.
Football, yeah. It's likely. If the ball's being put into the box, the likelihood is Harry Kane is going to be behind you, yeah? And then Walker. Walker, who's like meant to be this lockdown defender, he's the one who's strong defensively, gets beaten in the air easily by Kane.
That was the third goal, though.
That was the third goal. I mean, just three goals, three errors for Man City as well. Mm-hmm. But obviously, like you said, Harry Kane, when he's on it, He scored another one that was top three in the world.
And there was a great save from Emerson as well. I have to say, that was a top
save. I've got to be honest. Emerson. Yeah, it was the Harry Kane. Yeah.
Emerson, is that the new Man City keeper?
Emerson Royale.
Oh, save.
Yeah.
Oh
Edison. He saves Edison.
Edison,
I'm bugging up. No,
you confused me there.
I confused myself.
Edison, God. Yeah.
No, but I've got to be, this was like,
why didn't you get sent off? Why didn't you get sent off? He saved it.
This was completely the Harry Kane show, but I was saying in the chat, Emerson... for the first time this season, impressed me.
He actually looked decent, yeah.
Romero was good.
There's a name for Romero. It's Rolls Royce Romero.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to call him Romero.
Rolls Royce Romero.
Who's chilling with Romero for now?
Yeah. we'll see how that changes.
But I did see a Spurs fan say today. I know it was a massive win, right?
And, oh no, what have they said?
And you've got every right to be excited about him, but it's just... It's so reactionary to say that he's now the best centre back in the league.
Oh, for goodness
sake. It just disgusts me. It's like, chill out.
Hold on. Because I literally just looked at Mark's tweet.
Chill out.
He quote tweeted someone, who said, hold on, let me just get on Mark's tweet.
Mark went in on Twitter,
Shall we talk amongst ourselves?
No, one second. I'm getting out. I've got to
I didn't go that in, but.
So someone tweeted, So from the moment Christian Romero joined Tottenham's coaches felt he's one of the top five, blah, blah, blah. And then someone quote tweeted and said, he's the best centre-back in the league, top five in the world. People might think I'm crazy for saying this now, but trust me, they will soon realise he's the best centre-back in the league. And then Mark Tindy goes, honestly, I think Romero is top quality, but you are smoking something strong to produce a statement like this. They're moving mad,
that's
bro.
That's the thing, and like, I hate when players do this because it puts expectation on the player. Just calm down. Yeah. Romero, he's a very good defender.
But he's barely played, man.
Like, the block he made in the last minute of the ridiculously added extra time, can I say, 7 minutes, it went to 9 minutes. I was like, what is going on
there
here?
There was a VAR.
I know, but not in the added time there wasn't. But was there?
City got,
was
City, City, there was City two got goals. A pen.
Was that in
added time?
That might have been just before, but there, even so, the 7 minutes to me was a bit like, whoa.
No, it was.
Then you ended up
ridiculous.
Playing 10.
Yeah.
It's because there was the first goal that was disallowed, that was VAR checked in ages, but then there was the VAR check in added time. That's why they got...
And of course, there was... couple of goals that were celebrated. City didn't celebrate at all. They went straight back. I bet they wish they celebrated now, boy. Wasted a bit more time. City went straight back to the centre circle. By the way, what a pen that was from
Mario. One of the best pens I've ever seen.
In crunch time as well. Like crunch last time. Min pen, bang, top
but
corner.
But also, you know, Son and Kane, outrageous. All time Premier really well. Record for Premier League goal contributions. Or they're level at the moment.
Level with Lampard and Drogba.
It's 36, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
They'll probably beat it, which is amazing.
So, Tanya, what does that do for your mood in terms of what Spurs can do this season? Or, like I said in the chat, are we going to see Spurs be Spurs and just go ahead and lose to Burnley tomorrow after such a impressive win?
Do you know what? It's so weird with Spurs, because when you watch performances like that, you just think, why can't we do that for the rest of the season? And I think performances like Wolves and Southampton, that's where I'm really annoyed. It's like, this City result now, does it mean anything if we don't go and beat Burnley? We have to beat Burnley. If we don't, you have to say it's pointless winning that game, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives me a bit of confidence seeing the way we've played. Obviously, Burnley, the only thing I will say, I think we struggle with the teams that like to sit back. I think it's no surprise we play better against teams the bigger size because there's more gaps.
I completely agree with that.
So we'll have to see.
And what Conte's been doing as well is like he keeps the five and the four like really rigid, and then he leaves one man up top, usually Harry Kane, and Son's lightning quick. So when Harry Kane gets the ball, Son's off. Then that's how he's getting through. Like Man City couldn't defend it.
No. They couldn't. He definitely had a masterclass.
You know, if Kulusevski was any just any bit faster than he is right now, he'd be absolutely really good.
He is really slow. But I do like the tuning phase.
I think that's probably why they were playing a bit of high line, because like Kane's not gonna outrun anyone either. Yeah, no, that's the risk you take. But two out of the front three aren't quick, so you could maybe feel that. And then also, Son's on Kyle Walker's side, and Kyle Walker's going to outrun anyone. So,
but I will say as well, like, I want to say an honourable mention to Sessegnon. I was getting frustrated with him in the first, but he actually played decent because Reggie was out with COVID. But
sorry, who?
Reggie.
I thought you said Reg G.
Reggie. I called him Reggie. Regulon.
Who?
Regulon.
But anyway, we have to do what we do against Burnley. But it was a big result for us, massive. And for the top four race and for the title race now, because all of a sudden Liverpool, they're 6 points off Man City
with
the
game
in hand.
Yep.
That's massive for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I honestly think Liverpool could still do it.
This
That's
top four
not
race
out of the question.
Is ridiculous.
Mm.
I'm not sure who's at home or away, but it makes the Spurs Arsenal game.
It's Spurs are at home.
God,
Spurs are at home. It just brings
that
up a level. The magnitude of that game in terms of.
It's got draw written all over it, innit?
You know what, mate?
I'll take a draw right now.
Would you?
I don't want to lose to Spurs. I do not want
a
draw. We need to win that game. But no, it does make it interesting. But
that's soon, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, no, we've got Burnley, then we've got Leeds, then we've got we've got Everton.
I think it's in about four games' time.
Yeah.
Bruv, just look on BBC Sport website, yeah. We don't need to go through your
fixtures. Wait, are you going to criticise KDB, please? Because...
I wish I could, but I didn't watch the games. I've only seen the highlights in it. But was he bad?
I thought he was.
So what
bad.
Did I tell you, man? I've been had this agenda on this guy for like 2 years.
I'm gonna be honest. Yeah, you called it the earliest. I don't think he's been good this season
at all.
In general,
but the thing is, people are still gonna put him in team of the year. It's ridiculous. No, surely not regardless this of his performances, yeah,
mate, he'll probably win player of the
exactly.
year.
He'll be in the conversation.
It's annoying because, like Bruno, he stacks up on stats. Like, he'll get assists, he'll go on a run of like four or five games where he scores and gets an assist, and people, oh, KDB's incredible. So that's technically when you play, I would
put KDB on a whole different, in my personal opinion, on a whole different level to Bruno. My opinion.
No, I know, but I'm just comparing the fact that, like, if you have a bad game but you get an assist or a goal, people are still going to talk you up.
So Bruno
does that.
Stats obsessed world.
But KDB, he'll go on a run of like four or five. It's easy when you're doing that Man City team. Like, when you go score eight goals against Watford, and
they
then
score
then
four
six
or five
against
a game,
whoever, and then you're stacking up assists and goals. At the end of the season, you'll see like 20 goals here and 14 assists there. It's just like, where were you for the rest of the season? Like, doesn't make sense.
But I do think City, the pressure's on them now, and it's just whether they'll...
That game at Etihad against Liverpool is going to
pop off. Is this week, isn't it?
No. It's a while ago. It's five or six games down the line.
Damn it. I was Liverpool
excited. The final, isn't it?
It's the League Cup final on Sunday, and we got Leeds on Wednesday night, tomorrow night, which is the game in hand.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Leeds.
Oh, yeah, you're home against Leeds.
Are you going to say well done, Spurs, Abdi?
Yeah, man just went silent and raised his eyebrows.
No, well done, Spurs.
Well done, Kane.
No, well done, Spurs. That was a fantastic performance, and Man City, they huffed and puffed, but Spurs held
and
strong.
Dyer's back, which I know, I can't believe I'm even saying that, but it made a difference, him being back.
Yeah, I was calling him in the first half. Second half, he was really impressive. It took him a while. I know he's fresh back from injury, and it makes sense that it took him 20, 30 minutes to get into the game, but you're right, him, Romero, and then Ben Davis. He was actually pretty good.
I don't know, if you go back and you go to like episode 54 and you hear Tanya calling him like
a ridiculous
player or whatever, now you see like the world turns.
I still
turns,
want him gone though.
The world turns.
Long term, but anyway.
Cool.
Massive win.
It's a massive win.
Anyhow, I'm back next week and we don't win. I swear to God.
Because there's two games, right?
So you've got Burnley, and
then you've got someone else.
Leeds, I think. Anyhow.
No, you can't lose to Leeds.
Well,
there's no way.
I hope not.
It's Leeds away, isn't it? So you never know.
You never know with Leeds. They're up and down. So.
I don't know, you know. Anyway, moving speaking on. Of top four, West Ham interrupted Mark to say this. West Ham drew to Newcastle.
West Ham, bubbles.
Newcastle continue their terrific run of fixtures and picking up points. West Ham looking a bit faulty.
It's done.
We all knew that though.
West Ham. I mean, they're not even finishing top six.
Yeah, they're not. All of this West Ham hype, all their fans.
I can't lie. Yeah. Tans, you called it early. I can't lie.
I don't take them serious. They haven't got the squad.
No, but I don't know about not taking them seriously. Like, they are a good team if everyone is fit.
Yeah, but who's not fit right now, apart from...
Everyone is fit.
Do you know what? I just looked at him for everyone at the time weren't playing too well. I don't want to discredit them too much, but I've never really... Even Arsenal's strong, like, first 11, it's better than them.
Yeah,
still.
No, but...
I don't...
That bounce has gone. Honestly, you watch them now and... Listen, if there's any West Ham fans listening, feel free to correct me, but it's so boring and there's nothing special about the way West Ham play. And I know it's been getting them results and fair enough, they're in fifth, but... Boy, they keep playing. Like I said, I don't think they'll finish top six. And actually, I think United will finish above them, Arsenal, Spurs, and even Wolves. And I honestly see West Ham dropping down to 8th or 9th.
I really see that. West Ham have to face all of those teams still.
Yeah, that's
Man United, Spurs, and Arsenal.
The thing is, I think what their issue is that people are... Their biggest success this season has been Rice and Bowen.
Yeah,
Antonio earlier on, but he's faded out a bit. Bowen... Like, he really got shut off at the weekend. Like, he didn't really have any effect at all. But then when Rice, I think the thing is, with Rice, it's two extremes. People overrate him.
Yeah.
Like, what's his name? Glenn Hoddle saying he's the best midfielder in the league.
Oh, for goodness.
Like, relaxing it. And then you've got people are saying he's rubbish, which clearly is not. Like, the guy is physically, he's clear of so many players. But then when, like that, people can't analyse him objectively because, it's either one or the other. He got absolutely dominated by Joe Linton and Willock. Like, it was clear.
Joe Linton,
like, you saw,
You hit an all-time low.
Yeah, Joe Linton. This is the best rebrand I've ever seen.
From striker to DM.
He's a quality centre midfielder, bro. Like, he's got so... He's physically strong, he's quick, and he gets injured all the time. Like, in the middle of the game, he goes down like four or five times.
Give credit to Eddie Howe, then.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to give him credit for that.
We asked the question last week, or I think Abdi asked it. I don't know who asked the question. Is Eddie Howe the right man?
No. Yeah, I mean, for now, the thing is, it's just getting him back from how far back they were. Like, he's making them...
He's actually done a good job there.
And they've stopped conceding so many goals. Like you mentioned that Eddie Howe's teams concede a lot of goals, but they've stopped conceding a lot.
And you got to remember that was a Newcastle without Lascelles. No, that was
Lascelles, isn't it? So,
fair enough.
And Saint Maximin was missing
as well.
No Trippier.
But I mean, yeah, I think if they start playing Bruno, they get whenever Trippier comes back, if they get the likes of Sam Maximan and Wilson back, the team looks completely different. You know, like a midfield three of Bruno, Willock and Joe Linton, not bad. Up front, I don't know, whoever you want to play on the right, but then you've got Sam Maximan and Wilson. The team starts to look a bit more mid-table Premier League, you know, and then they can obviously build from next season as well. But back to West Ham, you know, like, one player that's going under the radar with how bad his performances are is Souček. Like, he's been so bad for so long. And this game as well. Like, he literally couldn't deal with anything in the midfield. Like, he didn't know what was behind him. His energy was low, which is weird. And on the ball, he's been so, like, average. Like,
I think he's always, like, to be fair to him, always been average on the ball. I think his other qualities were a lot better. Like,
The late runs into the box and stuff. But even that's missing from his game at the moment. I think you're right, Abdi. But the thing with West Ham is that it's literally Rice and Soucek, and that's it. The next one to come in is Mark Noble.
Yeah.
And
he's
almost retired.
That's true.
And they play way too many games. I'm telling you.
Exactly.
Declan Rice, Souček, Antonio, Bowen, all of them play way too many games. I think I read something with Soucek, he's done about 110 games in the two seasons prior to this one.
Jesus.
And he hasn't had a break this season either. They've got Europa League coming up in the round of 16. It's like, where
they needed to make signings.
The squad, January should have been the time for them to say, right, this is the best chance we've had ever to go for a Champions League place. And they didn't do it. So
yeah, it's true. I don't know why, like, Moyes, he's had that sort of, like, when he was at Everton as well. He liked the small squad and consistently playing the same players. But I don't know what the benefit is when you got into Europe as well. And you're going for a top four spot.
You can see it against Kidderminster. They only got rescued by Declan Rice brilliance in the last minute.
And Bowen as well.
But particularly Declan Rice. Yeah. And I just think with West Ham, the squad's too small. Other than, like, the centre-back area where they've got some good quality in terms of the cat kicker. I don't even want to say his name. Ogbonna, Diop, Dawson.
Sorry,
they've got some good depth at centre back. Full back in terms of Soufal and Ben Johnson.
Three right backs.
Frederick. We won't even mention Frederick.
They
got two in my book. And then you got Cresswell in at left back. I don't think they got left back cover. But when you start to look forward,
did you say Johnson?
I said Ben Johnson for right back. When you start to look forward past that kind of depth in defence, there's nothing. And the players look dead on their feet, honestly. West Ham were impressive to start the season. First third of the season, good.
And the way Antonio plays, he's going to pick up injuries, you know. Like, a guy is...
He's injury prone anyway.
Exactly. So they should have gone... They should have got another backup.
They tried to, but they failed. We spent too long on this. Let's move on to the other team in the battle for top four who played on Saturday. Arsenal versus Brentford. Before I touch on Arsenal, are Brentford...
No.
In free fall.
Yes, they are. I thought you were going to say safe, but no.
No.
I was going to make a statement.
I was going to say that as well. Like,
it's a bold statement, and I was going to wait until... are they even on this?
They are.
No, I was going to... It's a couple of games down, Burnley. But honestly, I think Burnley are going to stay up. And I can see Brentford and Leeds getting sucked in. I really think Burnley... Well, it pains me to say it, and a couple of weeks ago, I would have said they're straight down. But... Yeah, Brentford are getting sucked into that. Leeds are getting sucked into that. It's going to be very exciting. Very exciting come the end of the season.
Go on then, Tanya.
No, we'll get on to them later.
Oh, Everton.
Everton, yeah, of course.
I'm telling you, okay. I'm looking at their fixtures coming up. Boy.
You have to have a relegation special.
Ask me what their next fixture is as well.
It's got Man City.
City. It's not getting easier for Everton.
We'll get on to them when we talk about it. Okay, but I mean, so, Brentford, that's a good, interesting question, because I watched Brentford, like, I watched their game against Man United, watched their game against Villa. Brentford don't impress me much, honestly. They're just three at the back. They play they are a bit Burnley, you know, just long ball.
Yeah,
very. They're quite boring to watch.
Possession
away from home, they don't really.
They're very one dimensional.
They don't really go for it. They sit back and try and hold. But they're not good enough to do that.
They got a draw against Liverpool early in the season, didn't they?
This is earlier in the season, and I think
they did it purely through long ball.
I was going to ask you guys: do you think that was a new season bounce?
Yeah, 100%.
Because every time I watch Brentford now, it's very stale. There's nothing that really impresses me about them.
It's because they don't do anything different. They're very one-dimensional in their play. They're very we will do what we do best, but what you're doing best isn't
working.
Yeah, and I think it's obviously as well the quality of players that they have. Tony's not firing, and Bueno isn't he doesn't get involved in the games as much as he used to, and it's not looking good.
I can't
good.
Really pick out any of their players in the lineup, to be honest. A lot of them just seem the same to me. In this game, they really, really... Man just got up and left without telling anyone. So in this game, they really, really got dominated. It wasn't even close.
It was easy. There was 16 shots from Arsenal in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing they were doing really was heading away the horrible standard of crosses that we were doing.
The corners were ridiculous.
Cedric had 16 crosses. I honestly think, Cedric is colourblind. I'm not even joking, The guy crossed 16 times, and 16 times it went to a Burnley player. It went to a Brentford player. And obviously for their goal, he's the only one playing him onside. So he must be colourblind. Everyone is pushed up. You're right.
Tanya's had enough.
That's funny. I'm sorry.
And everyone pushed up for their goal, and it seemed like it was offside. But who's there playing everyone offside? So I told you, he might be colourblind.
Could be.
But they didn't really do anything. Arsenal, from our point of view, actually one of the few games I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a good game.
We sustained pressure for all of our attacks.
Yeah.
The likes of Ødegaard and Saka and Smith Rowe just balling out.
We should have had four penalties.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started, man. If Arteta doesn't come out with his next press conference,
in the first half?
No, there were three.
There were three in the first half. Two in the same move.
No, so that one. So
the one where there was two penalty shouts.
Yeah. Ben White got kicked.
Yeah,
without the ball.
That was then bad for me.
That was a stone wall penalty.
Then Lacazette
in the same move, ball came back in.
Yeah, that was
the ball wasn't even close.
Lacazette got fouled by two players, man. Yeah, in the same move.
Cedric crosses the ball.
That's
and
ridiculous.
Wilson handballs it.
What is it? It would have been less obvious if he caught it, like a goalkeeper. It's like, what are you even? I get it. If it was too quick for the referee, but why are VAR not looking at it?
And they don't even check it for that long. The Ben White and the Lacazette one won't even check for that.
I don't even It's literally coming to a point now where, you're actively trying to not give penalties to Arsenal. For me, that was four clear-cut penalties, and I'm not taking anyone else. When I saw that guy from Sky Sports saying, "Oh, it's just the coming together." What are you talking about? And he says he said everyone's reaching for the ball. That's football. You want to get the ball, don't you, idiot?
No, but also if you kick someone from behind and take out their leg, is that not a foul?
It's a foul. And the penalty one, the handball one is ridiculous.
Yes,
the two, for me, Ben White was fouled and Lacazette was fouled. Then Pepe in the second half, he was fouled. It's all fouled. Yeah. They're four Stonewall penalties. Yeah. And I don't get why. I feel like I'm not trying to say here that Arsenal, there's a bias against us or there's an agenda against us, because that's too much of a conspiracy. But I do think the referees are terrible. But the amount of times we're getting shagged is you can't ignore it. This season, I can't think any other team getting shagged more than Arsenal this season. In terms of players getting booked straight away, more sending offs than any other team.
But
other teams
that,
not getting sending
above
off.
Above that, MacArthur kicking Saka on the edge of the box.
Yeah.
Godfrey stamping on Tomiyasu's face. And
if
none of them were even yellow cards.
If you see what bloody McTominay was doing on Sunday, how did he not get five red cards in one move, bruv? He nearly killed someone.
And then Martinelli goes against a double yellow for a similar thing. So it's just bare annoying.
But like I said it last week, I don't think I can deal with 15 games of Lacazette anymore. You're a centre forward and he just does not look threatening.
So what's the solution then? Do you play in Kessie?
I was going to say, if you had a choice right now, let's say you're away to City or Liverpool tomorrow.
Up front.
No, but I'm taking Martinelli out of this.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just trying to make it harder.
No. If it's Lacazette and Nketiah, I'm going Lacazette.
Yeah.
But we're going to suffer because that's we should have got someone in.
He's never in the box.
No, but what that does mean, I'm not. Listen, I know this is going to be a big deal if you don't go on to secure top four, because then you look back on that and say we should have signed someone in January. But what that does open the door for is a big signing in the summer. Yeah. Someone who will come in and score. Well, you'd hope 20, 30 goals a season.
Regardless of
Harry Kane.
Harry Kane.
His hometown club, isn't it?
That's like the hardest.
Harry Kane will put up an Instagram picture of him at that parade, isn't it?
Like, what top strikers can you get?
The thing is, yeah, like, whilst I agree with you guys, like, it does. I think, regardless, we're going to need to do it because both of the strikers we have, central strikers, are both out of contract. Yeah. We're going to need to sign them. They're both going to leave. But I'm really at the point now where people are saying, oh, we'll strengthen in the summer. You're just going to waste 6 months of your season. Like, in January, people are like, oh, we shouldn't have. Well, it's good that they didn't panic and then they're going to get someone in the summer. Then we were saying that last year. Every year you say.
It's a hard window. That's what they say. It's a hard window.
It's nonsense, man. Like, but the one I want is Osimhen. But I don't know how much it's going to take to get him out of
Napoli.
You're going to have to pay. But I mean, just right now, like you said, the question is, I wouldn't go with Nketiah over Lacazette. He's awful, sometimes he's a bit lively in the box.
He's literally the League Cup dog.
You're right, he's awful.
He's awful.
Honestly, I'm at the point now where I just got give Martinelli a chance up front, because Saka and Smith Rowe are both bagging. They're both two top goal scorers, and I'm at the point now where I don't care who it is. We need to have Smith Rowe on the pitch.
Yeah. But the only thing I would say to that is that what Lacazette does give you is experience, someone who knows how to hold the ball up. And what I don't think Martinelli would give, he's so lightweight, right? Mm. And I do think, despite his amazing qualities, I think he's at this stage of his career better suited to the left, more space,
more space
to run into. And I think with the nature of the physical centre backs in the Prem, I could just see him getting eaten up. Yeah, and I know he's swift and he's quick and he's fast and he's got good footwork.
Yeah. That's true. He did play a couple games up front early in the season.
And he was invisible.
Stop. Firstly, I need to cut you off. Stop with this Pepe nonsense, man. I'm not hearing it.
He played, didn't he? He came on and played well.
It's Brentford, man. I'm not listening to Pepe. Stop with this Pepe nonsense. And Pepe up front is like literally, it's so nauseating.
I feel sick
when people say Pepe up front. Stop this nonsense. Like, we're literally bad enough with Lacazette up front. He won't put Pepe up front. I know, I'm not having it, bro. It's like, that is the worst. No, I'm not having this Pepe stuff. But whilst I agree with what you're saying, there's a tactical issue. Like, what happens is Odegaard, him and Saka are combining quite a lot, and Saka is getting in behind quite a lot. So when Saka gets in behind, there's no one in the box, Lacazette keeps dropping deep. Odegaard is there. You've got Odegaard, Smith Rowe, and Saka. Stay in the box, in between the two posts. Stay in the box. Be a threat like you were at Lyon. I know, obviously, he's much older now, and he's obviously not whatever good he was back then. But still, like, you need to be a threat. It's difficult having a striker who's not a threat. And that's why I always have this fear. Like, people are saying Arsenal will get top four. I'm back in Arsenal for top four. I don't have that same confidence because, one, we're Arsenal, so we always do some nonsense at some point. And then we don't score enough goals because we don't have a striker who's that much of a threat. Tottenham, regardless of how many goals Harry Kane's scored, he's always a threat. Same with Ronaldo. They're always a threat. They're always likely to get a goal. Lacazette is not a threat. When our players, our two youngsters are the biggest threats, Saka and Smith Rowe, in terms of getting a goal. And when they get to the byline, where's the striker? He's on the halfway line.
You have to remember, you've
fighting
got,
with someone else.
You've
like, what are you
got,
doing?
Premier League. You've got so much time. Yeah,
I think Martinelli.
I think that's a massive advantage.
Going back to the Martinelli up front thing, I think Mark's right. Martinelli's best thing is coming off the left, because like that's how we destroyed Leeds. Like, I know Leeds play really open, but Martinelli was always on the left making those inverted runs.
I'm not asking much from Lacazette. I'm just asking. Be in the box and try and score. No. Try and score.
And like, then when he is in the box, the shots are so tepid. Yeah. Oh, it's just...
Did you regret offloading Abba?
No, not really.
Nah, bro. No. Because it wasn't going to work anyway. Yeah. Like, regardless of like whether he can score a goal, obviously he scored three goals of the week and one of them was a very lucky one. Yeah. he just gave it to him. But... He was playing very poorly for a long time.
And it took 17 games, four goals for us this season. So.
And let's not forget the amount of times he kind of... Well, I don't know how you want to, but broke protocol or whatever and clashed with Arteta.
He needed a move, I think, as well.
I don't even think... I think I think Arsenal needed him to move on. It was causing too many headlines away toxic. From football on the pitch. And when that starts to happen, you've kind of got to get them gone. It's too much negative press. And really, you want your team to be in the news and in the papers for sporting reasons only. Yeah. And at this point, they weren't sporting
reasons. As a captain, one time being disciplined is bad enough. But multiple times is unacceptable.
Especially as we got like such a young team, and then our leading player, our captain, is always like disobeying.
And then he went and did the before the Africa Cup of Nations. Oh, he was partying in Dubai and ended up catching COVID and had to miss it. And it's like
he didn't play for his country. It's crazy. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Right. Let's
shout out to my boys, the young my killers, man. Literally, both of them.
Sing,
no, I'm not singing.
Sing the song.
end this right now.
Both of them had 12 goals and assists this season, and they're 20 and 21.
Is the first young player for Arsenal to get 10 plus goals since Fabregas in 2009.
That's mad. It's gonna be mad when Saka leaves. Goals, bloody,
yeah. 9 in the league, 1 in the cup. So yeah.
Would you say? I'll make a snippet out of it.
It's gonna be mad when Saka leaves.
Wow.
I'm joking. I'm joking. By the way, I'm playing with these. But I was saying to someone, I think he's got 2 more years at Arsenal. But I think Smith Rowe.
Why are you putting that negative energy out there?
I think Smith Rowe will be at Arsenal for a long time.
You said Saka's got 2 more years.
Two or 3 more years.
Where's he going to go?
What team? If you don't consistently qualify for the Champions League, why should a player of that quality stay?
Don't piss me off. I get what you're saying, but I'm hoping that at least at some point we will get back into the Champions League.
Of course, that's the hope. He's hoping that as well.
And also, we need to give him the super max contract. So he's got
Supermax. What is this? The NBA,
bruv? Give him that, bro. 135 mil over 3 years.
Do you think at this point he deserves to be the highest paid player?
He's our best player. So yes, name me one player who's better than him in our team.
You know them better than me.
Exactly, yeah. But I mean, from your perspective, who's Arsenal's best player?
I think he's your most influential player.
Yeah, so absolutely. I think he's got to be played like that as well. And we need to protect his value as well. So if we do sell him, which Lord forbid, we need to get a big, big, big fee for
him. Let's stop talking about negative stuff and let's talk about Villa versus Watford.
Oh, let's not.
And
let's talk about your boy, 2 in 10. Yeah?
What's going on?
I knew as soon as I saw that, he's not my dad, bro. Yeah. Like, what do you want me to say to that?
Well, Saka's my dad. So.
Well, let's not talk about negativity. Let's talk about Watford. It's a team down at the bottom and they are picking up points as most of them seem to be doing now, which is what is making the relegation
crazy,
battle really good. Because at the beginning of the season, none of them wanted to win. Mm. Now they're all winning. So what a performance by Dennis. The 9th goal of the season, and he's been involved in 54% of Watford's goals.
Wow,
that's crazy. He'll be gone in the summer.
Let me ask you something. Yeah. So say Burnley and Watford both go down. Yeah. If you could take one, you can have one of them. Dennis or Corne, who are you having?
McNeil.
I mean, yeah, fair enough.
I was going to say Workhorse.
Fair enough. No, just between Dennis and Corne, which one are you having?
Dennis.
Dennis.
I think Corne's quite explosive and will get like a spectacular goal.
It's mad because Corne was so bad at Lyon.
Was I not talking?
Sorry, you're true. Okay. No, I'm sorry, go on.
I just think Dennis is mad consistent, that was it.
I like Sarr as well though.
Yeah,
Sarr's a good player. We've been linked with him for years for a reason. I think that ship has sailed.
It's sailed now with Diaz now.
But honestly, I think there'll be a team in the Prem this summer who will... Listen, there's a lot of quality players who will go down this year.
There's quality players in the Championship as well.
And of course there is. Yeah. Quality players, I know he's got a lot to prove, but even someone like Todd Cantwell dropping down into the Championship, going to Bournemouth for half a season.
He's only like 22 anyway, so still got
time. Cool. Surprising that Norwich thought, you know what, we could do without his quality.
That doesn't make sense. He never even played this season.
That's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, but two managers didn't fancy him, so.
Do you know, but, not Burnley, Watford have kept 2 clean sheets in Roy Hodgson's first 4 games.
Big up Roy, I forgot
and
he's
then,
there.
For the previous, like, I think Roy. They've kept 1 clean sheet in their previous, what? How many games have they played this season? Like 21 or whatever. So it's a good turnaround from Roy in terms of the defensive stability.
You know what you're going to get from Roy.
Having Roy is going to save them, I'm telling you. He's used to this.
It was a massive win, for Watford. But in my personal opinion, I think they're going down. I don't know what it is. I feel like Burnley are going to stay up. I watched that Burnley game and it was actually the first time in a long time they actually impressed me.
I can't help agree with Mark because That was Watford's first goal in five games.
Oh, Jesus.
So if your team is down at the bottom, fair enough, you can you know, defend.
Yeah.
But you can't score. Mm. And goals are what wins you games. And they absolutely. They just don't score.
But Villa, they're not looking like themselves.
Villa is a weird one, you know. Like,
it's a very weird one.
It's a team that's stacked with quality, isn't it?
And they play really well against teams above them and really poorly against teams below them.
They need to try.
Yeah, I know we're talking about, I was making a joke about 2 wins in 10, yeah? Mm. But I feel with a team like Aston Villa, I don't expect them to win 10 in a row. So I think the one, and even draws as well, they drew against Man United. But I think the only issue is that some of the teams they've lost to would be concerning. Like, they lost to Brentford, they lost to Watford.
Yeah.
They should be beating these teams as well. Like, but I don't know. I think you've got a quality squad and it will come for them. But that was a very surprising result. Like,
yeah.
And do you know what? I saw a tweet today that said, Aubameyang, they asked him, who's the most difficult centre back?
I see that as well.
I said Tyrone Mings.
What?
That's because
against Van Dijk, he didn't really play, did he? He got 9 touches. So.
Yeah, so, you would expect, you know, this guy scored many goals.
But it's not just Van Dijk. Like, no, I know. There's multiple.
Yeah, exactly. I would say probably 100 centre backs in the Premier League before Tyrone Mings. And when you've got a centre back pairing of Callum Chambers and Tyrone Mings, nah, they're both maybe good on the ball, but they're both very capable of having a stinker. And so,
Okay. Is that it? Shall we move on?
So you definitely saying Watford are going down, yeah?
I think Watford are going down. I think Norwich are going down.
It's too much work to do.
I think Brentford are going down.
Really?
Mm.
I think it's too much work to do for Burnley, innit? So,
I mean, it's interesting because, like, obviously Norwich on 17 points, Burnley on 17 points, and Watford are on 18. And then I think it goes up all the way to Brentford.
Yeah,
on 24 points.
Absolutely.
So
all it takes is one... a couple of wins from the teams below Brentford, and Brentford not to pick up points in a couple of games, and they're all of a sudden they're 17th, 18th.
I mean, we were saying the same thing about
Newcastle.
They're already sucked in. We were saying the same thing about Newcastle. They're gone, and now they're like 4 points clear of the bottom. Let's move on to another team in that relegation scrap, Burnley. They went to Brighton and absolutely
bopped them off the pitch.
What the hell?
Brighton could have been about 6.
Burnley were playing like Brighton.
But do you know what? Weghorst is sick. Yeah, he's such a good player.
The finish for the Burnley's first.
Yeah.
It's a quality goal though, isn't it? Aaron Lennon.
His footwork is like, he looks like a Burnley player in terms of you just lump it forward to him.
Mm.
But he has technique.
Got to play them there.
He's like flicking it round corners, bringing people
into
play.
Like I said to you guys last week, he had multiple suitors.
Yeah,
but Burnley were the only ones willing to sign him.
That's
called desperation.
Desperation.
What the multiple suitors were?
I'm not sure, but
Arsenal were linked with him. Like,
we were as well. I think Arsenal and Spurs were linked with him, but I don't know what.
It's difficult for me to trust anyone who comes from the Bundesliga as not named Lewandowski.
Well, he's performing at the moment. So.
Yeah. Well, he's got one goal. So
no, but
I know that's how you start. That's how you start scoring goals. You need to score one goal. So, but you know, I'd have to wait a bit more. But that goal from Aaron Lennon.
I think it's performance. I was about to say Aaron Lennon scored.
My guy.
Wow, top bins, man. And
what a finish!
He's 37 years old, you know, and he just doesn't look it at all. Like that guy, he's the same age as Ronaldo. And look how rubbish Ronaldo looks.
No, come on.
Wow.
Mind you, Ronaldo's had a bit of Botox, so allegedly.
He
looks like he has.
Yeah. But Lennon played. Who else scored? There was another goal. So Lennon
Brownhill.
Scored.
It was Brownhill.
It was Brownhill.
I couldn't name this guy. I couldn't pick this guy out of a lineup. I keep seeing the name on the team sheet.
He's actually been really consistent for Burnley this season. He's like
as a centre midfielder, you're not touching the ball if you're.
No, but he's a typical Burnley player. It's like energy. Tackling, all that kind of.
Well, they've got games in hand as well, Burnley.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's the thing. Like at one point, they had 5 games in hand on Watford. Yeah, but do we expect Burnley to win these games?
Well,
that's the thing. Wins are down there.
I know, but it's the same with all the other teams around them.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think what's gonna really matter is the games when they play each other. Isn't it? So,
yeah, 100%. I mean, and plus, like, if that's what we were saying, like Burnley scoring 3 goals, they had 14 goals in the season before this game. They've only won. Before this game, they only won 1 game this season. Yeah. They have 11 draws. So they're not necessarily losing a lot of games.
Yeah.
It's just not picking up the wins.
Yeah.
And now, if you've got someone like Weghorst who can come in here and he starts scoring, then it looks a bit more positive. And you kind of have to agree with Mark because like, they're probably the most likely to bag these wins.
I think Sean Dyche really noticed that he has to move away from this Brexit policy. So if you start getting, you get Cornet and Aaron Lennon back in the team, and you get Weghorst as well, like, then you get some little bit more freshness in the team. You can't just, you're not gonna have Wood and what's his name, Barnes up front.
Where is
Barnes? Barnes is on the bench.
So I'm just looking at the fixtures. We've got our first big 6-pointer in terms of relegation next weekend. It's a Saturday, 26th of Feb. You've got Brentford versus Newcastle.
Ooh,
I like that. That was. And then they come thick and fast from there. You got Norwich, Brentford the weekend after.
Ooh, Brentford are in trouble,
Norwich,
man.
They're gone, man. Let's just.
No, yeah. But I think Norwich. I think Brentford are going to go down.
Yeah,
like, it's just I don't see it. And I think the one thing that Burnley have over all of those teams, but Burnley are the best defensively of all of those teams
by far.
Burnley, they helped with the drew 1-1 with Man United. They held Arsenal to a 0-0.
And by the way, they were missing their best centre back. Against Brighton, Tarkowski
with
COVID.
They've only conceded 29 goals this season.
Did you know what? Funny you said that. I'm glad you said Arsenal. That. Yeah, they were. I was looking at the table just before I came here, and everyone around them. So Norwich are almost on minus 40 goal difference. Then you got some of the others on like minus 27. Mm. Burnley are just sitting there with a minus 9. Yeah. Like, and I know they're 19th, but it brings back to the four, the defensive element you were speaking about. And defensively, we always say defence wins you titles, but in this case, defence could keep them in the league.
That's what might save Watford. We're having Roy in now.
Yeah, but they can't score.
Watford, are we saying going down? Norwich, I think, is a definite.
Norwich need to never bounce back up. Norwich, when they go now, they need to go for good.
So if we're saying that potentially Brentford are going to get relegated, who's the third one? Because even...
I don't know. I think
it's Everton.
It's so open.
Everton and Leeds are actually campaigning to go down. Yeah. They're like...
You'll give me goosebumps with chat like that.
Everything.
Stop it.
Mate, I would overdose if Burnley go down and never come back up. please. Honestly, I'm organising an open top bus parade. And I'm going for every city in the Premier League, yeah? And if Burnley go down and don't come back.
I just really struggle to see... Burnley being worse than the team apart from Newcastle. Listen, I think it's between five teams.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think Newcastle will be all right.
Yeah, and Burnley.
I think Leeds will get sucked in because Leeds have every single team down there. They're the most shambles defensively.
Well, their next two, Liverpool tomorrow and then Spurs on the weekend. If they lose both of those, if not, they will get sucked in. Yeah. They are fully sucked in.
I think they're sucked in already.
Yeah.
Everton.
It will be interesting, and we'll revisit this conversation pretty much every week because the table's going to change.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's going
to
be very
interesting. I hope it goes down to the last day because the last couple of years, the relegation hasn't been going down.
I can't remember who it is, but there's a massive game on the final day between two of those teams, Newcastle and Burnley.
Newcastle will probably be safe by then, I think.
Because, you know, if you think about it, like Newcastle were bottom and now they're 4 points clear. They're starting to get like space.
These last couple of results have been very impressive from Newcastle. Like, they beat Aston Villa 1-0. That was impressive. They beat Everton 3-1. They beat... And then they should have beaten West Ham, really, to be honest.
Yeah.
They did draw with United.
Yeah, they drew with United. But that was, like, before all of the signings, isn't it? So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, if they can get... I think Trippier will be very important to them.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
But he broke his metatarsal. They said that he's...
they're just going day by day, innit? They don't want to break Newcastle fans' hearts because he's been the most impressive of all time.
They announced that it would be a miracle for him to come back before the end of the season.
That's peak then, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway.
Who
played right
like
back for them this week?
Murphy.
No, Murphy played in the front three, didn't he? Was it Mankio? I don't know.
I don't think Mankio was fit.
Yeah, but he played well against Everton. So who knows? Yeah.
Let's move on to the world champions scoring a last minute winner against Palace.
Oh, Chelsea are so boring. Abdi
was disgusting.
I didn't know. I thought it ended 0-0. And then I found out it's the ex-god in the 89th minute.
So boring,
but let's talk about 115 million, seven touches. That's actually disgraceful. You shouldn't be paid that day. That's embarrassing. Imagine you came into work here and you did seven.
No, but that wasn't for you this time. That was for Lukaku.
Yeah, sorry, I
picked
the wrong one.
Abdi had PTSD. Looked around. Imagine
you came into work here and you only worked for 7 minutes. you would get in trouble, wouldn't you? How can you touch the ball seven times and one of them was at kickoff?
It's true. It's basically six touches. I'm not having seven. I'm not even having seven.
And three touches was in the move where he shot.
So
it's embarrassing. Listen, let's have it be known. Some of the touches were decent touches, right?
That's not enough.
But that's not enough. It's not enough. No, I'm scraping the very bottom of the barrel.
He had one touch the first half.
I know. And wasn't that from kickoff or was that the second half?
I think he had two touches first off, But that's embarrassing.
So basically, they had a man down then. They were playing with 10 men.
But Chelsea had enough chances to win that game anyway.
But Crystal Palace had enough chances to win that game. Elise had one and Zaha had two. And they're both, and all three of them went like close.
But Guaita was making quite a few saves. Like made one from Rudiger from long distance.
Made one that strike from Rudiger was mad though. Yeah, I know. But I said it from the start of the season. I said that style of play will catch up to them. It's so boring. They're not exciting in attack. And I know for the first, third of the season, maybe even the first half, they were picking up result after result after result. But
you can't have your defenders being the most potent players.
You know what makes me laugh about their fans? It's like, oh, we've got to buy this player now. This player, our squad's not good enough.
And that's a joke.
One minute you're saying your squad is like the second best in the league, and now all of a sudden it's not good enough. Now
they're doing like Tuchel's better than Klopp and all that stuff.
Yeah, you can't.
Don't want to hear any of that. It's got to a point now where it's actually Tommy. I was speaking to one of my Chelsea mates, and he was like, "I need Lukaku to not start the League Cup final."
Yeah,
That's where it's got now to with Chelsea fans. We're talking about £100 million player.
But who's going to play instead of him? Havertz, false nine.
Werner. At least Werner offers them those runs in behind and probably touch the ball slightly more than seven times.
Yeah, Lukaku, throughout his whole career, he's been one of those people being, stop comparing me to Drogba. I'm not a hold up guy. I'm a running behind guy. Yeah. Why didn't he? And he doesn't even do that now. Like, he keeps trying to like get into a physical battle, saying, "Oh well, because I went to Italy and Conte changed the way I play, where I'm better with my back to goal." Mate, you're the same guy you were at Man United, like, and all your deficiencies at Everton and everything. His strengths are running in behind and going in on goal, and scoring goals, and he's not doing that. So,
but also, like, his interview in Italy was very telling. Oh, I miss Martinez and blah blah blah. Bro,
what do you make of Tuchel's comments, sir?
What was his comment?
Which ones? About the colds?
Well, but like when in the post-match interview, they asked him, is it something about the system? He goes, it's not the system.
Oh, so he basically said it's Lukaku.
Lump up front, bro.
Oh, I have a stat that I saved for this exact moment. So there is a history of strike. This is Tuchel saying, there is a history of strikers struggling a little bit at Chelsea, so it may not be the easiest place in the world for strikers. So let me start reading you some stats about Chelsea strikers over the years. Gonzalo Higuain wasn't there for very long.
God, he was,
but 14 games, 5 goals. Alvaro Morata.
How can we forget?
47 games, 16 goals. Falcao, 10 games, 1 goal. Fernando Torres, 110 games, 20 goals. Shevchenko, 48 games, 9 goals.
That's pitiful.
Is the Chelsea striking cursed?
It is a little bit cursed, yeah.
Is that position cursed?
I don't know. The number 9 is cursed, isn't it?
But you can't use Chelsea's previous strikers as a means to judge Lukaku. It's all individual. If he wants to corner Lukaku, just corner him. And if he wants to, there's no reason to bring Chelsea's.
Really,
it would have been under different managers, different styles of play.
And it was Tuchel who said
I wasn't really defending Tuchel. I found it interesting that.
Yeah, no, I find it interesting that he feels the need to refer back to previous strikers. And what that tells me is that actually, we all know this, by the way, especially with Higuain and stuff like that, it was poor profiling.
Yeah.
It was chucking money at a player of the wrong age every time, the wrong age, too old, other than Morata, maybe.
But Morata
and they're buying. If you're buying a striker that doesn't fit your system, it's not going to work. But simple. If you're chucking money at random strikers,
because it's basically putting pressure on any new striker that comes in because of the past. Because strikers are.
That's not a good thing. You don't want to put pressure on.
And Lukaku is definitely the type of guy who would just be like, "I want the pressure. I want to be the main man." Lukaku backs himself, and you can't back yourself, and then seven touches.
It goes back to what we were saying last week. So when Broja comes back, he's going to bench Lukaku.
That's exactly what I was saying. I bet Tuchel's thinking, I wish I had Broja.
Yeah.
Because even though Broja, I don't even know if he's got more goals than Lukaku this season in the Premier League, but maybe like one or two more than him. But what Broja's bringing is way more than what Lukaku's bringing at the moment. Broja's not going seven touches, you know?
Yeah, that's
Broja's more secure in possession.
He's definitely good enough to say. I imagine if not to, I'm not drawing you out, but if a manager had that attitude, if, is he good enough? You wouldn't see players like Saka. You wouldn't see players like Trent. Because you have to, in order for a young player to thrive, you've got to trust them.
Yeah, Potts backed him, and then look at him now, isn't it? So
people question, like, playing Harry Kane, not signing a striker, and then
nuts.
There you go.
He's nuts.
But yeah, but Palace, I think, I looked at the stats, yeah. Palace only have 5 wins this season. Yeah. I'm not saying I expect them to have so many, but like they got to start picking up points, because if you have like what, if you, for example, in a five game run, yeah, and you draw 5 of them, you've only picked up 5 points. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you lose 3 of them and you win 2, you picked up more points.
Yeah.
So these draws can be like quite detrimental. I mean, they've got 11 draws this season. So
5 wins from 25 isn't good enough.
No, exactly. But I feel like, and the more we see of the likes of Olise, because not only is he talented, but he's putting up numbers as well. Like if you look at his numbers, he's got goals and assists in majority of the games that he's playing. So I think we need to see more of him. I think they definitely should probably persist a little bit more with playing Edouard, because I feel like he provides a bit more than the striking option they have when he's fit. And you have Zaha and Eze's on his way back. There's two, and Gallagher as well. There's too much quality in attack for them.
They've got talent. But listen, so they've won 5 games this season, and I'm not saying they're going to be dragged in, because I really don't think they will. They've got too much quality. You've just named up the talent they've got up top is unbelievable. But when you think they've won 5 out of 25, Norwich have won 4 games this season. Watford have won 5. Newcastle have won 4. The draws have just about saved Palace in that respect, but it's not good enough.
It's not good enough. They're going to need to start picking up some points.
Hope they do, because I'd like them to stay up.
I don't want Vieira to go down.
They've got some good players, so.
The next team in the relegation battle faced a team vying for the title, Liverpool versus Norwich. And in the first half, it looked like Norwich were up for it, and that they would.
Pukki with a horrible miss, man.
They were up for it. That was a horrible, horrible miss from Pukki. And you wouldn't put your house on it, but you'd expect him to score.
Was he
from onside? There. He was onside. It was one of their only chances where they were actually onside. Because I know our line is high.
Yeah.
And I know it looks like we concede a lot of chances, but 70% of the chances we concede are all offside, and the flag comes up.
Oh, yeah, you caught people offside, like double the next team.
Not even double, it was way more than that.
Our line is essentially on the halfway line now, honestly, genuinely. But to give Norwich credit, and I gave Burnley credit last week, for the first 30 minutes, Norwich were good. I'm going to be honest. And after that, it was a...
We're very lucky.
It was an annihilation. But for the first 30 minutes, I thought they were decent. I got to give credit to Dean Smith. I honestly think they would be so much further. I know they're 20th, but they've got a small chance of staying up. They would have no chance without Dean Smith.
Yeah, it's true. Earlier in the season, we were just basically saying, oh, Norwich are terrible. Norwich are terrible.
100%.
But now they're actually putting some decent performances.
Rashica was decent. It was a very unlucky goal. Yeah. Very unlucky goal to concede, or lucky, whichever way you look at it. Because he was either going wide or just Alisson's going to catch it. But that was the wake-up call we needed. And as soon as that goal went in, it was over.
That first goal was quality from Mane, by the way. No, I mean, who played the pass to Tsimikas?
Thiago. Was it Thiago?
Or was it Henderson? I think it might have been.
Whoever it was,
that was a good ball. And then quality header from Tsimikas, you know, like right into the danger area.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
And Mane's tried that overhead kick for 5 years, isn't it?
He literally did it against Burnley. He had one where he should have scored it. He actually should have scored it. So.
But I feel like, not taking anything away from Mane, the goalkeeper was so poor. He's just like, I get it. He might be stunned that Mane even tried that. But have you seen him?
I think he dives over the ball.
It's just like, oh my days.
I think it caught him.
But I think praise needs to go to Klopp, because another game, another batch of substitutions, change the game, and Thiago, fantastic.
I think brilliant. I think the one who gets the most credit for me with a series of really quality cameos is Henderson. Came on against Inter Milan.
Changed the whole
quality
game.
Like, and he's been replacing Fabinho quite a lot, hasn't he? He's been playing as the deepest line one. So, and in this game as well, obviously, I think he played the ball to Tsimikas, and the assist for Diaz's goal.
Diaz, unbelievable. It's got to that point now, and I was thinking about this the other day. For me, you asked me for my favourite midfield three last week, and unfortunately that didn't have Henderson in it. But for me, it's got to the point now where I love Henderson. I will always love Jordan Henderson, but I much prefer him in that six role over the two advanced eights. So for me...
And he's not going to start
when Fabinho needs a rest, he steps in. Or listen, he can play on that right side of the midfield three with ease, but I would just rather have Naby or Harvey Elliott there. But there's no denying he was special against Inter when he came on. He ran the game against Norwich, got an assist. And it's just good to have depth and options other than Jota and Firmino, which is a shame because we were fully fit for the first time in a long time.
Yeah. Are they injured now?
Both are out for the final. Well, both are definitely out for Leeds tomorrow and then most likely both out for the final.
Who's out for
Jota and Firmino.
So is Salah going to play out front or Origi? Oh, yeah. Did Origi start this game?
No, he came on 60th odd minute.
I'm rooting for Liverpool in that final. If I see Chelsea win another shot, I swear
Liverpool,
to God.
Liverpool... Like I was asking Elijah when you weren't here, is like, do you think Diaz can play as a 10?
As a 10? Yeah. I mean, because it was a really clever set of substitutions because we switched from 4-3-3 to 4-4-2 or 4-2-4, whichever way you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. And Diaz was kind of playing up top but dropping in.
Yeah.
And he was doing that very well. But for me, I like Diaz on the left.
Okay.
Every time I've seen him impress me. For Porto and for Liverpool, it's been off the left.
So does that mean in the final, it's going to be Mane, false nine?
Mane was up top. Mane started up front against Norwich as well. Wow. So it was Salah on the right, Mane up top, and Diaz on the left.
Because I've seen Mane put in some quality performances up front, like in the Super Cup against Chelsea.
I think we'll start with the exact same front three and the exact same... Because let's not forget, Liverpool's front three has always been interchangeable. Yeah. So if you're Mane and you're up top, you're not staying up top. If you drift to the left, Diaz will comfortably come in and play up top for a little bit.
Yeah.
If Salah drifts in up top, Mane will drift out to the right. Let's not forget Mane started off as a right winger.
They can all
play in all three positions. It's so interchangeable.
I think Mane would be probably the best bet against the three they have up front at the back. Mm-hmm. So really good.
That's how I think he'll set up. Mane probably up top. Less of a false nine, more of an actual nine, I think, for this particular game and to suit Mane's qualities. Then Salah on the right and Diaz off the left.
I honestly think
it'll be interesting. I know I just made this whole speech about I would play Hendo in the six, but my midfield three for the final would be Fabinho in the six, Henderson on the right, Thiago on the left, because we need it. Listen, you can't underestimate Chelsea's midfield, particularly Kante and Kovacic. So we're going to have legs in there. We're going to have to go.
Is Curtis Jones fit?
Curtis Jones is fit.
Okay. Because I really rate. So I think, I know you like Harvey Elliott, but for now, I feel like he's such a goal threat. Curtis Jones, he hasn't played a lot this season, but I would go with Fabinho, Thiago and Curtis Jones. Because he likes to get into the box and score goals, although you have got goals up front.
I know we just mentioned Chelsea, just some breaking news. Lukaku has been benched against Lille.
So has he?
They've gone with Havertz up.
Interesting. Top. But I mean, honestly, Diaz is going to be a big problem, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
he's so electric.
Liverpool's done it again, man.
I didn't realise how much pace he had, and he's just...
37.5 million. It's another bargain.
Well done, Spurs.
Another bargain. No, Tabs, I'll be real. We were always front of the queue.
No, but always. Didn't they offer you? Didn't they value him higher? We did the kind of negotiating for you, and then you stepped in and was like, "Yeah, we'll pay it."
No, but this was for the we wanted to sign him in the summer.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, the summer.
So we kind of let that one simmer for a bit, and then word came out that you would practically agree to deal. So we thought, right, well, if we don't do this now, it's never happening. Jumped in, and that was that. So thank you for that, Spurs.
No,
but
no worries.
Yeah, he's quality. The first ever Colombian to play for Liverpool. I just really like him. He's an amazing footballer, but as a person as well, he just seems like such a genuine...
He seems like a proper Liverpool player.
Yeah.
And the
best thing about him is that he's come in and one of the main characteristics you need when you sign for Liverpool is your off-the-ball ability.
He looks like he wants it, though. He looks like he's got that sort of like that arrogance that Salah has.
Mm-hmm.
In that he doesn't care. He will go for it. Like, he'll go for goal. Yeah. He'll go try and take people on. Yeah. He's not timid like someone like Minamino, for example. But he wants it. Like, I've noticed that when in his cameo against Inter Milan, he's only pitched for like half an hour, and then he's causing the most problems.
Doesn't shirk away. Yeah. And that's exactly the type of player.
And he's really young as well. How's he?
25.
Yeah, he's gonna be a madness.
His prime's ahead of him. Salah 150. You put it on the agenda. He's 10th all time top goal scorer for Liverpool ever.
From right wing.
I think he'll end this season in eighth. I think he's eight away from Michael Owen in eighth. And then seventh, he's about kind of 30 or 40 away. So that won't be this season. But at a very minimum,
he must have the highest ratio in terms of like, because the amount of games he's done.
It's 150 and 2-4-4 or something like that, or 2-2-4. which is crazy from the right, as you mentioned. Outrageous. And by the way, what a touch that was. To control the amazing ball from Alisson and then to spin the keeper, centre back, and just calmly slide in with his right foot.
The guy who melted away on the line. It was like, oh.
Yeah. I think he caught them all off guard with the right foot, just essentially passed it into the net.
All right, so do you want to talk about it?
You put it here, okay, and well. I disagree. It's not in Liverpool's hands.
The reason I said that is because if you win all your games, you won the league.
Same as City.
It's in their hands as well. So you both got your hands on the title.
That doesn't make sense.
What I said is not wrong, and it does make sense.
It is technically wrong.
No, it isn't, because it's in your hands. If you win all your games, you win the league. Yes or no?
No.
What do you mean no? They're six points off.
No, but if we beat City and they win all the rest of their games, what's to say they don't win?
Yeah,
it
but
on goal
you you lot could win. I'm not talking about City. I'm talking about you. If you win all your games, you win the league. Yes or no?
No.
What do you mean no?
Well, you gonna let me explain?
Because you're six points off them now. Cool, no, you're 6 points off them. How much points? How many points are you now?
Let me explain. I know we're 6 points off. If we win tomorrow, we're 3 points off. And then still got to play them. I know. You think I don't know this?
No, but why are you disputing what I'm saying then?
Can I say it? So if we beat City and win all of our other games, but City lose to us and win all of their other games, we end the season level on points.
But you would have been. You got higher goal difference. Yes or no?
No, not at the moment. No, we've scored more goals than them.
If you win, the
we might beat them 1-0.
Yeah, but I think that at that point, all right, if you want to get into the semantics of it, all right, let's look at the table then.
Abdi digging his hole.
Just forget it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's not that deep, Abdi.
So yeah, your goal difference is 44 and theirs is 46.
So whose hands is it in then?
If you go and win there, 2-0.
Oh, that's a lot of ifs.
So now, all right.
That's a lot of ifs.
Listen, I know what you mean, right? But there's no way you can call the team in second place. You can't say the title. The title was in City's hands. End of story.
But has City got to play more bigger teams than Liverpool?
Though? We've got the worst run in. I can do it for you now because I saved the picture earlier.
No, but you don't need to rely on City's results anymore.
Look, Mark, show the picture.
But we do.
Because you
we're not going to win every game. What you're saying to me is your theory is we're going to go and win our last 13 games. That's why you're saying the title's in our hands, right?
The reason I say that is because, like I said, you don't need to rely on City's results anymore. And statistics-wise, we're talking about numbers and wins. So on the board, if you win all of your games, City cannot stop you winning the league. Yes or no?
On goal difference, they could. They could.
Yes, I know. But still, like, you're not worrying about their results anymore. It's if you go there and win 2 or 3-0, then you're in.
Who does that to City at the Etihad?
I'm just talking about from statistic point.
You're speaking in theory.
You're speaking in theory as well, saying City are not gonna are gonna win the rest of their games after you beat them.
No, I'm not saying City, but that's exactly what you're telling me Liverpool are going to do in this theory of yours, where it's in our hands. The theory is we win our last 13 games, right?
I don't know why you're scared of the pressure.
I'm not scared of the pressure.
It seems that way because you're Liverpool.
No, but I disagree with you, Abdi.
I just think you've got to accept that you're wrong. How can the title be in the second place's team's hand?
Because you're not relying on their results anymore.
Of course we are.
You're not, because if you win all your games, you win the league.
No,
we don't.
Statistically, yes.
No.
What? Why?
Just because
you're saying statistically.
Yeah, but then if Liverpool go and beat them, then the goal difference doesn't matter anymore, does it?
Listen, City win games 5 or 6-0 on a regular, Abdi. You're talking like they're going to go and win their last games 1-0.
You guys have goals in your team. Right. You got more
Leeds
goals
away, they're going to smack them 4 or 5-0.
You got Leeds at home, man.
4 or 5-0.
You got Leeds at home. You got Newcastle away.
They beat Leeds 6-0 at home.
Yeah, come on.
Liverpool have two of the top scorers
in
the league.
I know what you're saying. I know, but we're still second.
Yeah, still.
I know what you're saying. We've got the top goal scorers in the league, etc. No one's scared, Abdi. No one's scared. But what you're telling me is that the title's in Liverpool's hands, and I just think that's such a lazy way to look at it, because it's not. The title, both teams have the title in their hands. I don't know why you think Liverpool have some sudden sort of advantage.
We're just going around in circles.
One result, one loss in 13 games, and suddenly the title's in Liverpool's hands. Listen, I've got hope, and I think there's a chance we could go on a crazy winning streak, and with 4 or 5 games to go, I think we'll still be in it, 100%. But to say the title's in our hands,
and you're talking like Liverpool are like massively outscoring City. It's one goal.
I'm just saying, like, all right, that's a fair point. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I hold my hands up. That's a fair point. I'm not completely discounting City. I'm saying whatever City do doesn't matter. I'm just saying, now you're in a position now where you don't have to rely on them dropping points all the time now. Because, of course, because it's more in you, more in your, you focus more on what you're doing now.
100%. Look, that I can agree with, but yeah, for me, it's not in our hands. Listen, right, if we're a point ahead of them, it's in our hands.
Who have City got then? Can you, all right, so
City's fixtures, obviously their next two are quite difficult, but after that it gets pretty, so they got Everton away, United at home, Palace away, Brighton at home, Burnley away. Then it's the big one. So City, Liverpool, then with 1, 2, 3, 4. That will be with six games. So that will be seven games to go. Sorry, then there'll be six games after that. Then they've got Wolves away, which is one of the games I'm harbouring a lot of hope for them to drop points. Watford at home. Their last five games, they're going to win them all. Honestly, I'm so sure of it. Watford at home, Leeds away, Newcastle, West Ham, Villa. And then you look at our run of fixtures. It's Leeds, West Ham, Brighton, Arsenal, United, Watford, City, Villa, Everton, Newcastle, Southampton, Wolves. Even the fixture list suggests it's in City's hands.
Yeah, it does. Because even the games before they
But like I said, I haven't... I honestly think with three or four games to go, we're going to be right in it. There'll be a point, if that, between us. And if we're the team who are ahead, it's in our hands. But
are you willing to make a prediction?
I don't think you can make many predictions with 13 games to go.
Well, what are you feeling? Do you think you're in the league?
What I'm feeling, and I say this every week, near enough every week, City have the capabilities, and this isn't theory, they prove it every season, to win their last 13 games. No hassle.
Especially after
one can disagree with that.
Liverpool can do that though, can't they?
We can, but City are the team with the history to say, we can actually do this. When they won it with 99 points and we finished with 77, I think they won their last 17 games in a row.
Yeah.
And the season,
I'm talking from experience. You're telling me it's in our hands. We've been battling with them, one and two, just Liverpool and City, for 5-6 years now. No, but I mean, I will tell you if it's in our hands and when. But
I'm
right
just thinking
now,
about like
not.
Team wise, yeah. The only area where I see City are much stronger is in the midfield, because look at the depth you've got up front now.
100%.
And then at the back, you're starting back four, which I would include Konate instead of Matic. I think that's better than their back four.
Now, listen, I completely agree with what you're saying. And like I said...
And that's
said,
the two
I,
most important I, areas for
I've got a lot of... That Spurs game had me reinvigorated. And I kind of sat there and thought, all right, this is on. So I'm not out here saying there's no chance, because there's every chance. They could go out and... I'm not sure who they got on the weekend, but they might not Everton bounce away. Back as well as they usually do. Then they've got United. And if they don't pick up 6 points from those two games,
that's a tricky fixture for them.
Then I'll say to you, all right, this could be in our hands. But I think it's too early to say it's in Liverpool's hands. But like I said, I've got pure hope now. We're in all four. We've got a chance of winning all four competitions that we're in, which under Jurgen Klopp, this part of the season, usually we're out of one, maybe even both of the domestic cups. So we've got a lot to focus on, and so does City. But so much football to be played to say it's in someone's hands.
Okay, I don't want to jinx it, but if Liverpool win the quadruple, does that make them the greatest side ever?
Just weird. Yeah, let's not go there. Okay, that's
no one's ever won the quadruple.
Yeah. No, but I'm not... Okay, Mark, you don't have to partake, but would you say...
quadruple, I mean, not many teams do that. So
I think it'll be hard to argue against them not being the greatest side in the Premier League history.
Quadruple?
Or like England.
Wow.
Because...
Like,
Maybe
you could say that no one's ever done the quadruple, but because literally no one really cares about the League Cup apart from Man City. But I mean,
it'll be an incredible achievement, and then especially because like I know the Club World Cup gets pushed on to the following season, but that should be counted in the because like it's the same
calendar year. Maybe we'll see. But I don't think
it's a very good season for Liverpool. Like Mark said, they're still in the Champions League. I think they'll go very far.
But I think Liverpool win the Champions League.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that to me, you know, that inner performance. And that filled me with not that this team needs to fill me with any confidence, but you guys know when that draw was made, I was kind of like, that's
a tough one. I was.
That's quite, in fact, that's other than Madrid PSG, that's the toughest draw we could have got in terms of the direct opponent and what was available. And you can think Chelsea finished second, they got Lille, who were 11th in League One. Yeah, we get the Italian, our reward for finishing first in the group, winning all six games, is the Italian champions. But we went there and we dealt with them.
Liverpool City in the Champions League final.
Oh my god.
Don't. You lot won't see me for weeks.
Oh my god, can you imagine that? All
right, the stress. The stress.
All right, let's move on because anyway, we're pressed for time.
But I just want to clarify that I don't disagree with you when you say the title could be in certain teams' hands, but I just think it's too early and too easy to say things like that.
I'll readdress this point in five games.
Then I'll give you a proper answer. Like I said, I've got every hope that we will put up a massive fight, but I say this every week.
You're doing brilliantly to even still be in it.
Of course, I need to see until City drop points again, and let it be known, we could be the ones who do that at the Etihad. But I feel like they need to drop more points outside of that.
If Spurs can beat City, anyone can.
But I've got every hope. I'd love to win two trophies this season.
Can we be friends now?
We're always friends, man. Come on.
Aww. Play the pink one.
Alright, just that was Tanya. I just wanna note that
delete the last 30 seconds of the podcast.
Mark pressed that button with heart and passion. Anyway, Southampton beat Everton.
Everton are
Yeah,
joke,
let's
man.
Talk about Everton. They are trash, bruv. They are getting
firstly, why are you more excited now than wait, speaking about
can
the Spurs
I just
win?
Say, no, you guys don't understand. She's had a page on Everton open since we started the podcast.
Right, where is it?
Do you know what, Tanya?
They're getting relegated, yeah? Look at their next games, right? Man City, L, right?
No,
after that, they've got
that.
Spurs. I can't lie, I fancy us to beat them. L. Then they've got Wolves. Do you see them beating Wolves?
I said, I could see it ending in tears for Lampard.
They've got Newcastle. The way Newcastle are playing right now, I don't see them winning. Then they've got Watford. They'll probably win that. And then they've got West Ham. Then they've got Man United. I'm sorry, they're in this.
I don't know that you can say they will probably win against Watford when they got battered against Norwich.
Okay, so yeah, that's not even a guarantee.
They got battered against Watford as well.
So how many games is that? Six games, no points. I'm telling you.
That's two wins in 18.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
This is going back to the end of September. Yeah. So the two wins is against Leeds, which everyone's beating Leeds.
They're terrible,
and Arsenal,
man,
which is embarrassing.
They're getting relegated.
Two wins in 18, that's bad.
We just can't win at Goodison Park, so.
That was only because of the screamer from Damari Gray.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't even
and they should have had a Man City
deserve
well,
to win that
so, yeah.
game, yeah.
And Nketiah.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. And Aubameyang missed an open goal in the last minute as well. So it's shocking as well. Like, I just look at their team as well, and
Dele
I get so frustrated. They're one of the most frustrating.
He's finally at his level.
No, he's not. He belongs in the championship.
Yeah,
on this level, do you see the ball he gave away for Southampton's second goal?
Honestly, awful.
He needs to go and do a stint in Holland or something.
It's a five-yard pass, and he blasts it at Southampton player.
Okay. I said that as a joke, but I genuinely think it. I think his career needs a bit of a reset.
MLS.
And I'm talking away from the
MLS.
I just think
bro, if you can't even pass 5 yards,
retire.
I think it's done.
Is it me, yeah, or is Shane Long been a super sub for like 15 years?
That's his first goal in two years.
That's crazy, man. Like, he's always been a substitute. Like, it's just he just runs and he's good at heading the ball.
There was that time he was like whole signing in like a January and he was like their number nine and stuff, and then Southampton.
But I'm telling you, Carl Walker Peters as well, he's been playing absolutely out of his skin at Southampton.
Livramento balled out.
Livramento came back in and balled out.
They're really good Southampton.
I bet Chelsea are gutted they let him go because they've been playing for half the season with Aspia.
I have no sympathy for Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean,
no sympathy.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, in their mind, they're thinking, we've got Aspia's won everything and we've got Reece James, so they're not
and
really.
And Van de Beek, I said it, Everton was not the right move for him.
Yeah.
Like, you're going into a team that's probably more of a mess than Man United.
Should have gone Palace, innit?
Yeah,
he should have
1,000% he should have gone Palace. That suits his football way more. He looks like a big fish in a little pond.
Yeah,
like,
exactly,
he's better
yeah.
than every other Everton player.
And you lot rating Calvert-Lewin, but you know, what's he done?
Well, he's been injured for most of the season, so what?
I think he was on the bench.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could he do, like, if you want some score goals from the bench?
Well, he's meant to be
Yeah, if
there.
You're a proper striker, you kick it
and
from the bench.
And this Richarlison, you know, stinking out
though?
Every
what's
week as well.
Stinker, man.
Like, you guys got an agenda against
Richarlison. This guy, everyone, Richarlison's sick, you know, bro, we score four goals a season. It's not good enough. And then you go to...
Yeah, but look how dead Everton
Yeah, but bro, you go to the Olympics and you score three goals against Germany's under-16 team and then you what? You're the best player in the world.
Mm. You say look how dead Everton are. Calvert-Lewin bagged, what, 15, 16 last season?
Yeah,
it's
but
not an excuse.
They had Ancelotti last year.
And listen, striker knows how to put the ball in the back of the net at
Richarlison
the end of the day.
Doesn't.
Did you see he came out and said, I don't know if it was before this game or after. I doubt it was after. It must have been before. And he said, I don't want to play Champions League football with any other club. He's like, big man. You're 16th.
Who said that?
Who said Champions
League? Richarlison.
Nah, he needs to. This guy, he's got.
It's problems. Like when Che Adams said, I want to win the league with Southampton. I don't see why we can't do it. But he's been good though, really, with Che Adams. Like, he's a very underrated player.
Everton are in this relegation.
Yeah, 1,000%.
You just read out their fixtures,
Tanya.
No,
but that's what.
If Brentford are in free fall, Everton have hit the ground.
Do you know how funny it would be though? I need them to beat City this weekend. It would just be.
Oh no, no chance.
And then go on and lose the next five.
Imagine
or six.
Imagine Liverpool win the league and Everton get relegated.
Yeah. Oh my god.
You wouldn't want your. You don't. Well, to be fair, you don't really see them as rivals anymore, do you?
Yeah, they're not really like, rivals, with me, yeah. Are they?
I hate Tottenham and I want them to crash and burn, but I don't want them to get relegated. Like, I want that fixture.
You hate that fixture.
Well, hover around the bottom, but still, like, you know, I don't want them to go down because I want that
escape. That's all right.
Like, do you think Newcastle don't miss the Tyne-Wear derby?
I think they don't care.
No, they do.
No, I'd say they do, you know. I think that's a good point.
Honestly, I think they really want
but
to stay up.
I think they love the fact that Sunderland are stranded out there in League One as well.
But do you proper hate Everton, though? Like, do you see it's a proper rival?
I mean, it's not.
Like, they're so dead compared to.
They're just annoying little brothers, isn't it?
Cousin, I'd say. Cousin.
No. Yeah, to be fair, like they're in your rearview mirror. You don't really care about them, but still, do you really want them to go down? Because those derbies are still like the atmosphere.
Listen, let's get it straight. They would bounce straight back up, 100%. So it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. In fact, I'd love it. I don't know what I'm on about.
Yeah, I want Lampard to get relegated.
Yeah, I want
Lampard
to get relegated.
Yeah.
Fabian Delph getting relegated, that'd be nice.
Mark Calvert-Lewin relegated.
Oh my god. Okay, let's move on to the most shambolic defensive performance from both teams that we've seen in the league so far this season.
I actually hate Leeds.
I want them to go down. Actually,
I was getting, you guys were seeing the group, I was getting physical pain from the incompetence at the back.
We know, you said paragraphs.
Some of those centre-backs, they're not even professional level. Strauch. Don't get me started.
He is always terrible against Man United.
Nah, and just I literally was like, I can't watch this anymore.
Hopefully they came back. They did all the hard work.
Listen, Two goals in 24 seconds.
Crazy.
If Leeds getting relegated means that we can have a chance at signing Rafinha, then I'm all for it.
I want Rafinha. You can't have him.
You've got Kulusevski, man.
Oh, yeah.
You've got Saka. But I mean, yeah, especially if they don't have their, and he put Rafinha on the bench. I don't know
but
what
do you
he's doing that
if
for.
If they had like the likes of Bamford,
yeah, exactly.
Calvin
then they have Calvin Phillips.
They've
and
had loads of injuries all season, but still, you can't be shipping goals like they do.
To be honest, Rafinha should have started. I don't know.
Maybe was he saving him for this game? You're not going to win it, so I don't know. Was he saving for the Liverpool game? He's not going to. We're going to win at Anfield, so I don't get it. And Melier, the more I see him, the more I just think. You just came out of primary school.
I've seen certain man on Twitter put him in top 10 goalkeepers in a prem.
Nah. You've got to give him credit, though.
Yeah,
his head is a perfect cube.
I think last season he was 19, 18.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, he can't be top 10 goalkeepers this season.
Yeah, no, I don't know who's saying that. But
that's what I'm
in
saying.
In terms of just giving him credit for being so young.
In the top 10?
Listen, it's not often. Let's not get into that.
We got time for that.
I'm trying to think.
Melier's not in there. That's
yeah.
That's the point I'm making.
Don't even.
His head is a perfect cube. Like he is. He look is like he. His head should be on the shelf. He's a perfect box.
That sounds really creepy, bro.
Oh my god! Sounds like I wanted to kill him.
So back to the defending.
I was late, man. I was looking for the right button, but that did deserve a.
Oh, this one.
Yeah.
That was the one.
I turned that off. Man. Stop with the buttons, yeah? All right. So, just from a defensive point of view, I don't get why they feel like any team really who comes and plays a control game against Leeds, you're going to score multiple goals. Because the way Leeds defend, yeah, it's literally pressing all over the pitch.
They don't defend.
And the gaps in the middle, like, why isn't Pogba going
to
play that well?
It's
why isn't Bruno
going
to get so many chances to run through the middle?
Well, I have to say, he was brilliant.
Sancho, for the past three, 4 weeks.
He's been good, yeah.
Got to be honest, yeah. He's coming to his own. He's coming to the level he was at Dortmund.
He's
not there just yet, but he's been. Really
He's probably been one of their better players. But the reason Man United are always going to have teams get back here, like this happened so many times, Man United are giving away the lead, is because they just can't control the game in midfield. You literally have one guy who's secure in possession, and that's Pogba. And then you bring in the likes of Lingard, who's more of an off-the-ball runner. You've got Sancho, who's going to be out wide for most of it. Ronaldo is not going to get involved in build-up. You've got Bruno, who's just going to be careless with the ball. McTominay, honestly, Gary Neville would have been proud of that performance. He was going around trying to kill people. Like, it was a joke. It was a joke. And he was like, someone needed to come.
Yeah, how did he not get red carded for that injury on what's his face?
Well, yeah, and the thing is, people are saying, oh, it was an accidental. No, it wasn't accidental. That guy, he's the type... Robin Koch, yeah. And... the way you said it was a bit sus there.
You ran out so immature.
No, Judy was like, cock.
No, I was going click or cock. No, I did not go cock.
Yeah. But
the way McTominay, he was going around trying to hurt people, trying to be like that tough physical centre midfielder who, you know, covers the ground. But he went flying into cock and drew blood for him, bruv.
But I'll be honest. Just listen, just leveling out the playing field a bit. He held a couple of stiff challenges himself. He did. He's not just him slumping people.
Yeah, I saw his ankle after the game. Still.
And then they got this midfielder lead called Forshaw, more like Foreskin. That guy's awful. He is horrible. I don't know why. He brought him in for this game. That guy's not good.
He's only 18, allow him, man.
No, Forshaw is a big guy, man. Gelhardt is striking to him, mate. He's all right. Yeah. But I mean, Forshaw is not good. And then Man United, I feel like what's going to happen now, yeah, is. Ralph, he tried to change a bit. Lingard played this game.
He bought Fred, to be fair.
Yeah, but he's gonna go back. I think he's gonna go back to what he likes. He's gonna bring Elanga back in because he scored. And I don't know what's happening with Rashford right now. It would just go back to and then he'd probably bring Fred back in. Fred and McTominay with Bruno. Even though Pogba's balling out, he probably won't play him. You know,
Bruno.
No, he took him off after 65 minutes against Leeds, and I personally think that was with Atletico in mind.
Maybe. Oh yeah, I forgot about Atletico, innit? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Atletico are shambles as well. Though,
I agree with what Mark said a few weeks ago. Rashford needs a move to
where? Where do you see Aston Rashford Villa. Going though? Like, what's his like? Could he step up from Man United? Does he have to be stepped down?
It's very stagnant at the moment for him at United.
Is it Premier League or is it another league?
Yeah, exactly. I don't see where he can go.
Where he goes?
I don't know.
But maybe he goes Tottenham after Harry Kane goes to Man United.
No thanks.
A swap deal.
I don't want Rashford at all.
You could do worse than having Rashford as a replacement for Kane.
No. Listen, Rashford's a quality player, but it's gone too stagnant for him.
Yeah.
It's gone way too stagnant.
And where I think he's best is where they've got their main guy. Of course I'll take him. Yeah, yeah. Look at God, like I said, man. But like, where Man United's main guy is Ronaldo. So where Rashford, he should be playing centrally, I think. But then he's not. He's not going to play with Ronaldo.
Even before Ronaldo was there, he wasn't playing.
I was going to say, has he given you enough to say, I can be the main man?
Without injuries, playing consistently the whole season, he can.
Without injuries.
Yeah, that's the thing. But the thing is, like, anyone can get injured, isn't it? So.
Who's United's next game? Apart from Atletico?
They don't care.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, but.
They are in the race for top four, but, you know, you don't care. So
I think they will get top four. Unfortunately.
We've got three games in hand on them. So.
They've got someone, and then they've got City. So that's a bit of good news for you.
Thanks for the information.
I would love for them not to get top four.
A Watford at home, so.
Oh,
come on, Roy. Come on, Roy.
Come on, Roy.
All right. Wolves keep marching on.
They do, man.
They lost Gloucester, so.
Well, we faced them on
Thursday. Why was Ruben Neves celebrating that goal? Celebrating apparently is the worst thing in the world, so he shouldn't be celebrating that goal. He should walk back to his position.
Why shouldn't celebrate?
He was complaining.
Right, where have you been under a rock?
Yeah, Ruben Neves was.
He only cares about
Arsenal.
Tottenham. That's it.
No, I watched the game, but I didn't see what
no,
he
basically said because Arsenal players were celebrating, and he goes, "Oh, you see the level that we've come to. That Arsenal come and get a win here, and they're celebrating like they've just won the league." Blah 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 blah. Right.
Then he was like, "Listen, Arsenal are little men," and he was just going like, "He was."
He said it like that, yeah.
Yeah.
We've got them on Thursday.
That
being said, he's an absolute baller.
He is an absolute baller. And funnily enough, I know he said what you said, but the links aren't going away.
Xhaka Roma rumours aren't going away. So if Xhaka goes to Roma, he's been my number one choice to get there. You know, I like
he's
it.
So
I've also seen some Tielemans rumours, which I don't think Abdi in particular
will. Because he's had the worst season.
He has had a terrible season. In all honesty, he's been terrible.
Do you think
Neves' comments add a bit more oomph to the game on
Thursday?
Definitely,
yeah.
Because it wasn't just Neves, it was Cody. Cody came out and started saying, we didn't like
her celebrations.
Yeah.
that were bad.
That was actually quite easy. The way they celebrated, it just pumps us up for the next game. And I'm like, oh, shut up, Cody.
They're actually a good team away from home. Like, they've beat Man United away from home.
They're a good team, period. They're great.
I think they're better away from home, though, the way they started to play.
You know, I didn't know that. Sorry, can I just say this one thing? That God, I've forgotten his name. We spoke so much football today, but the Wolves manager,
Bruno Lage.
This is only his second actual job in management. He's always been an assistant manager.
No way, really? He's doing bits.
I think he took the Olympiacos job, or
maybe. Yeah.
Where was he before Wolves?
Somewhere.
That was his first. That was his first role as manager.
Braga.
And then before that, he was always assistant managers. Assistant. And to be fair to him, he's smashing it.
Yeah.
Smashing
but
it.
They've got good players though.
They've got great players.
I think they're a dark horse for finishing in the Europa League spots 100%. Above.
I think that's a given. I think
above, even above Man United.
And I think this makes sense because he impresses me every time I watch him. And this was not like a stupid source that you kind of see and you're like, yeah, you're chatting shit. This came from the Telegraph. Mm-hmm. That Chelsea are interested in Max Kilman.
He's very good. Mm-hmm. I watched him against Tottenham. He was really good then as well. He's good. He's very underrated as well. I think he's helped. Obviously, he's in the back three.
I think a lot of Wolves players are underrated because they just do the job that they do so well.
Is so underrated. Yeah. I like him. He's a very good player.
In fact, it'll be a great game. I'm really looking forward to that game.
We need to start fast. That's the thing. We need to start fast against them.
Yeah.
But then they're a good. They can get goals. And Neto's back now as well.
And the thing is that both teams can defend. Yeah. So it's just who can get goals because. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But Leicester, proper mid-table, innit?
Yeah. Hey, Brendan Rodgers, I don't know. I feel like that FA Cup win last season is keeping him in a job, I can't lie. I think he should.
I don't think Leicester should necessarily get rid of him.
They need some centre-backs because every time I watch Sinisu, I get more and more. So you should just go to Leeds and I fully hate them.
But do you not think they should be doing a lot better, though?
They definitely should do, 100%. But then at the back here, I feel like just relying on... what's his name, Fofana and Evans, you need another centre back as it is. I don't rate Amate. I definitely don't rate Sinchu. I've never rated Vestergaard. I don't know why they signed him. What they should have done was gone and paid money for Tarkowski or something like that. They were trying so hard.
They were being quoted 50 odd million.
Yeah, and then I think in centre mid as well, they're quite light. I like Drewsbury Hall. Indeed, he's having a poor season. Tielemans makes me sick. And then, like, he keeps benching Madison. I don't get it.
Madison has a little niggle.
Whenever he comes back. Lookman, I don't know what it is, but there's something about him I don't like. He looks like he can be very... He makes the wrong decision a lot. He scored. That's fair enough. But, like,
I think Lookman's a decent player.
No, I think he's just, for me, as a sub. Yeah.
As the only singular positive for Leicester, if you can even take this away as a positive, it was a very well worked goal.
Well, who was it? Albrighton, was it?
It was Tielemans, great ball to Albrighton, cut it back, and tap in.
But I mean, I feel like up front as well, obviously Vardy's not about right now. Daka, the goals come in spurts with him. But Harvey Barnes was really the only shining light for me in that team at the moment. So, and Brendan Rodgers, this is sort of like the cycle we go through with we went with Liverpool, isn't it?
Where are they? We had the
some decent.
Let's say 11th or 12th, I think.
So, we're massively overrun. So we're gonna skip straight to Man of the Week, and this week I'll start, I guess, because Abdi started last time, and I'm gonna give it to Harry Kane.
No!
Sorry, Tanya. Sorry, but I have to get some points on the board here.
Well, it's not a secret though, is it?
Damn it! Now I'm prepared.
Yeah, Harry Kane for a spectacular performance.
Cool. I'll go on next. I'm not looking to get corn this week, so I'm gonna veer away from Liverpool.
I know it's crazy, and I'm gonna give it.
Mate, I don't even care. Don't give in to the pressure.
You're the main pressure, man. You're the main guy.
I'm not gonna do it this week
because I watched that Burnley Brighton game. This may be the first time I've ever said this, but quietly impressed by Burnley in general. Weghorst actually very much impressive on the day. So I'm gonna give it to Weghorst, first goal for Burnley, and just all round he was really good.
Penya.
Do you know what? I'm going to give it to another Spurs player because I just think Romero. I know he gave away a penalty, but I think he had a solid game. I did have someone else in mind, but nah, I'm giving it to Romero.
All right.
Well, we all know Kane's going to win it, so I'm just going to go with Odegaard because he played quite well.
Pick up Odegaard. I was going to go Sanchez.
Did you see his dummy?
That was my
Junior, you saw the dummy in it.
Oh my God.
I'll send you the link in the group.
Yeah, you was.
And people next to me going, oh, did he mean it? 1,000,000% he
that,
meant
but it. That Brentford defender was willing to travel back to Denmark with him. He sold that dummy so well. Denmark. It's not Denmark, Norway.
You know what? I was going to draw you out and I thought, we're so far into this episode.
All right, so if there's nothing else, we'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Woo!
Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.